Amen. 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 To you. I'll feel that way, 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 way back here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do agree with the prayers just lifted up about Haiti. And Lord, we know you truly are in control of all things, and so we rest in that. And I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. We have an encouragement from you, Lord, and to know that you care about us, and you're moving in a way that's beyond anything we can imagine. And so, Lord, let us have our hearts set upon you. And so we just thank you for your goodness. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would just be open, Lord, and to receive what you have to say. And I just pray each person would be encouraged this morning by your love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at this morning. Turn in your Bibles or open up in Isaiah 66:5. Isaiah 66:5. We're going to start off there. Isaiah 66:5. And it says this. And it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word." It's a fascinating, you know, section. The title of the message this morning is "Tremble at his word." Tremble at his word. And as I was thinking about this and, you know, meditating on it, I really like for each one of us as we look at this and you know, as Christians, we think as a group, as a church and our home groups and our families and kids, which we should, because there's power there and there's encouragement there. But I want us to look at this specifically. I want each of us to think of us individually alone, all right? You know, not our spouse, not our kids, not some. I just think, no, this is us individually alone. Lord is speaking to us. Because if, as you know, in this world, things happen and you make plans and you think things are going to work out a certain way and you do things and they don't quite work out. And you just like, you feel alone. You're not sure what to do. And so it can be some frustration, you know. So everybody's been there. Everybody in, you know, living has been there where you get to, well, I don't know what to do. I feel alone. You know, or, you know, so whatever, and you think, gosh, I'd like to have some help, but then you, well, there's nothing that anybody can really do, you know. It's just like, well, I want us to think about individually what we do, okay? Individually, God is looking down at us, and he's saying this, you know, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Now, look who hears the word of the Lord. Look at that and think about it before I say it. Who is he talking to? Fear the word of the Lord. You who tremble at his word. See, he's saying, the people that tremble at my word, that really believe it has something to say, believes that there is something there, he goes, tremble at what I say. So he's talking to the people who will tremble at his word. He's not talking to everybody else. See, you see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, yeah, I read the Bible. Oh, that's what God, yeah, says, you know, does that have any? No, not really. I think about it, meditating. We have a good Bible study. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people that open the Word of God and say, oh, my gosh, this is the Word of God. And they tremble at his Word. He's, okay, listen, here, I want you people to hear. That's who he's talking to. You see what I'm saying? That's who he's talking. Oh, I had a great Bible study. I taught a great Bible study. When that, we had a good offering. You know, we was like that. You know, just stuff going on. I was encouraged. You know, I'm not going to holler at my husband anymore. Yeah, just stuff, you know. Or maybe it's vice versa. We're like, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about says, no, you open the Word and you tremble. Say, oh, my God, this is God's Word. So he's speaking. That's who he's speaking to you. That's who you speak to. So you're thinking, I'm thinking we're individually alone in our, you know, corner in a rocking chair or in the bathroom with the door closed, somewhere like that, right? And you're reading and you're opening the Word of God and you're alone and you're reading what God says to you. Amen? Now, this is what this is saying. And so we want to have that mindset, a tremble at your word. You know, I said, man, Wallace preached and I trembled at him. You know, I said, just shut up. You know, I mean, that's not what he's talking about. I mean, he hollered so loud, I trembled. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you open the Word of God and you tremble at what God says. So we need to have a perspective of what is being said here, what is being said here. Now, so with that in our mind, okay, we're going to see the ones who tremble at God's Word are the ones who God speaks to. I read the Bible all the time. He never talks to me. You know, it's like, all right, okay, you know, that's kind of sounds like my kids. You know, they don't listen to me either, you know. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, God doesn't talk to me. He's not real. And it's just contradicting everything it says in Scripture, you know, because God tells us, no, I'm going to speak, I'm going to guide, and I'm going to do. And so you hear the word of the Lord, those who tremble at his word, because they're looking at it and they say, no, this is the Lord speaking, you know. So, I always love, I enjoy this because I'll send the title of the message to Fran, okay, every week. And then she puts a picture in front of the bulletin. I don't tell her anything. I just send her the title. And so it's fun to come in to look at the bulletin and see what she puts on it. Okay, so I just get a kick out. So I picked the one up this morning. I go, all right, that's good. That is really good. Because look at what says, what's on the bulletin. I said, just tremble at his word. Look what's on that bulletin. And if you just stepped up and there's a lion, you go, whoa, whoa, you know. Now, if you were at a zoo and the lion is behind bars, you go, that's a lion. Yeah, see the lion? Feed the little lion, you know. Don't throw paper wads at the lion. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's a lion. It's a lion, you know. But if you're out in a Sierra jungle or something, and there's a lion, you go, oh, that's a lion. You know, your attention span changes. Well, see, that's what's saying here is when you look at the word, you go, oh my goodness, this is God's word. It's saying God's speaking. Do you see the difference? But a lot of us read God's word like God's in a cage. Okay, his God's in a cage. Well, we're going to tell nice little kitty stories because God's in a cage, and we'll keep him there, and we're safe, and we're comfortable. But that's not what the Bible says, see? And so he says, no. And then what he's saying is the people are saying, okay, God's in a cage, and I'm just going to read, he's in a cage, and he's where I want him, and, you know, rose petals and everything. See, he's in a cage, you know, and so I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to ask him something. He's going, no, no. I'm not hearing you because you don't know who I am. You have me in some sort of a cage. Whereas a lion, loose, you go, whoa, that's a lion. Or like, oh my goodness, this is God's word. This is God's word. He goes, now I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to you. But do you see what it comes to listen? It's our attitude as we go before him. Amen? And it's like, oh my, this is God's word. God's word. So we want to think about that. We want to think about that. So those that tremble at God's word, that's the ones he talks to. You know, like, oh gosh, I know this guy's so holy and so smart and great, and God talks to him. Well, if God's talking to him, that's not why he's talking to him. He's talking to him because he trembles at his word. That's why he's talking to him. You see what I'm saying? So we'll go back up a couple of verses and look at Isaiah 66:2. Look at this, Isaiah 66:2. I love this. I just love this verse. It says, how many times have I said that over the course of all these years? I love this verse. Well, I do love this one. Okay. But this is the one to whom I will look. Whoa, okay, it's like, well, who's God going to look to? Well, he's telling it. This is the one. Just tell me who you're going to look at. Just tell me what you're, okay, I'll tell you. This is the one to whom I look. He's telling us, right? Are we ready to see who it is? You know? He who is humble and of contrite heart, spirit, and trembles at my word. That's who he looks to. God, why don't you hear me? Well, something in this verse ain't clicking. Something humble. You know, I love humility is a great word because behind it we see the power of God, okay? And how do you see the power of God? Well, when you're humble, you know, I can't. I can't. And if you're humble, you know, God can. See, we got this crazy thing about humbleness, but that's all humbleness is. I'm humble before the Lord. What do you mean? I can't, but God can. That's the definition. Well, God can, that's humble. No, it's you can't and God can. I can't, that's humble. No, it's you can't and God can. You see, they go together. So it's a humble, I can't, God can, and I tremble at his word because he can, and I'm seeing what he does here. And contrite means just a crushed heart. You know, there's no pride. You know, it's a crushed heart. And Lord, you got to take care of this. I there's nothing in me that can go forward. See, if you just took, oh, he's humble, that's it. He just walks around with his head down, prays, and just, you know, he's a complete downer to anybody who hangs around him. You know, or a crushed heart. Oh, my God, I got to go and cry with this person, pray for this person forever. They never get better. But they're contrite. Now, I never had that thought, but that's what we think. They're contrite. It's just like, gosh, it's exhausting. But that's because that's not what it says. It says you're humble and cry and tremble at his word. God is doing something. All of a sudden, I'm on my toes. I'm alive. And I, whoa, things are happening. Okay, now, by the way, we're alone. we're alone. And this is what's happening to us alone. Nobody's seeing this. Amen? So here we say, I love what the Bible said. Well, I just wonder what God's doing and why he doesn't do this if he'd just speak to me. He is. You know, he is. And one of the things to know that he's looking for those who are humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at his word. I mean, we look at this and it's like, whoa. I mean, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, whoever believes in him shall not perish, have eternal life. And say it about it like that. You know, like, no. No. For God so loved the world. Holy, good night. God loved the world that he gave his own good group. It's overwhelming, you see, that you tremble at his word. Oh my gosh, I can't grasp that, you know. And it's that view of who God is. So we're trembling at his word now. And so when you tremble at it, that's who God is talking to. We were sharing another night, and we're talking about, and I've shared this over and over again, but it's about the pastor and Miss Milliken. And when we met them, they were like 80, you know, and that was when they've gone to be with the Lord. And they're the only couple in my life I ever saw that acted like this. And they'd tell you, you know, and they'd show you something in the scripture. Well, you know, you say that, here's a good word for you. And they'd turn here and they go, oh, look what God's saying, you know. And I'd look at them as, oh my God, what he's saying, you know. And every time they'd read it, oh, I just asked, oh, he was just, oh. And you walk around, and it was like, it's amazing. And but when they opened the word and read it, it was just like, oh, look, oh, can you see this? Can you? I said, I sure ain't seeing what you're seeing. It's like, my goodness. They used to, his mom and dad, we knew their parents. And we'd say, well, why don't you take them out, show them around, you know, and in the mall. I said, oh, we tried. This is terrible. They're awful in the mall. Just awful. I said, what's wrong? He said, they witness to everybody. He says, you can't even buy something. You're trying to buy something. They're trying to lead them to Christ. You go in a store, you never get out, you know. And then they finish the cashier, and then the guy in the line. Then they just start going down the line. He says, it's impossible to shop with them. If you want something, you just need them to tell them, then you go get it. See? And they're the only people I've ever seen like this. So when I have that, and they would tremble. I just go, oh. When they start reading the Bible, they're going, oh. It's like, geez. You know? I mean, what is going on here? And what was going on there? And so when they would tell me something, says, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm going, yep, he did. He spoke to them. I know he did. And God would tell them stuff. Sometimes they'd show you in the scripture. Sometimes they'd show you in the scripture, or some say, you know, I just believe the Lord is doing this. You see what I'm saying? But it was because they trembled at his word. So it was, why don't God talk to me? Don't say that. Think it, but don't say it. Because he says, as you tremble at his word, he says, I'm going to show you stuff. I'm going to show. Amen? I think, come around the point. I have four or five more stories about Pastor Milken that we don't have time to go over. But anyway, it's just stuff like that. And they just come to mind. I just say, oh, my goodness. I mean, I look at them, and they were just like, gosh, I can't believe that. And I think back about, and they just, oh, you're so sweet. Oh, you're so kind, you know. And I bet they were thinking, like, oh, God, pray for him. He ain't know nothing. And I know they had to think that because it was a true, you know. I knew that. But, you know, they must have gone home and said, oh, God, I don't know if he'll ever make it. God, let's just go for the throne, the poor fella, you know. So, and but anyway, so here we are. That's trembling at God's word. That's what that means. That's what that means. Now, what we have here also in the Bible is we have an example in the Old Testament of a man, a king of Israel, that trembled at God's word. Okay, so here we have a physical example in the Bible of a man who trembled at his word. And so we'll read this. And so he didn't even have the full revelation of Christ. But as an Old Testament king, he gave his life to God and served God. He was a good king in Israel. He's a good king. People weren't still very good, but he was a good king in Israel. And so what we have is this time when he became king, and actually became king as a little boy and was raised up. And as he was being raised up, he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. His name is King Josiah. King Josiah. And so King Josiah, he grew up, and the word was neglected. Okay, the word of God was neglected, and the word of God wasn't read. But he raised in Israel, so he was aware of spiritual things. He was aware. The temple was there where he grew up and everything. They had the priest there. But the word was neglected. And so as he grew up and he got older into manhood, as a young man, he said, you know, I want you priests to go in and clean out this temple. Just clean a lot of junk. I mean, they actually had moved idols into the temple. He said, clean this thing out. Let's go clean it out. And since he's king, the priest said, okay, we'll go clean it out. Well, they're cleaning it out. Lo and behold, what they find in the temple is a Bible. I mean, it's just the Old Testament, but they find the Bible in the tent. You know, it's, you know, one in the shelves up there cleaning off. Hey, what's this? You know, it's a Bible. You know, it's up in the shelf. So what they do, they clean out the temple, and so they bring the Bible to King Josiah. And so they read it to Josiah. Okay? They clean it out, and they read the Bible to Josiah. And here's his response. 2 Chronicles 34:19. 2 Chronicles 34:19. And when King Josiah heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He goes, oh, good night. And he just tore his clothes when he heard the words. See, King Josiah understood, man, we violated everything. We're not doing nothing. We've violated the whole thing. I mean, he's here. He has a heart for it. He'd clean out the temple. But when the words read to him, he's, oh, my God. We're not doing anything. What the Lord has, and so he tears his clothes. Then he says this. Look at 2 Chronicles 34:21. Now he's a young man. He's in his 20s, maybe in late teens. 2 Chronicles 34:21. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers, he's a man and nobody. You know, dad and granddad. I mean, no. It says, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, the one he was just read. They have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is according that is written in this book. See, you think of Pastor Milken and Mrs. Milken, they go, this is the words of the Lord. Everything written in this book. Oh, look at what he says. I can remember them saying that. And this is what Josiah did. They read it. He goes, oh, look at what he says. Look at what God said where? In the Bible. Look at what God said in the Old Testament. He said, oh, my, we're not doing any of this stuff. You know, oh, I love God, la, 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 la.
But when I looked at words, I said, oh my goodness gracious, I'm not doing any of this. And it's like he tore his clothes. And so what he did, he said, oh goodness gracious. And so again, in Jerusalem, in the Old Testament, you had the temple and you had the physical picture of meeting with God, and the priest would go in and the priest would talk, the God would talk to the priest. He'd talk to the people outside sometimes, but the typical way the priest would go in, and they would actually get a word from him. So he reads the written word. So he tells these priests, he goes, go back in the temple and go before the Lord and ask him what we're supposed to do. Now, understand what Josiah did. This is what Josiah did. He read the word. He goes, oh, my goodness. We haven't done anything. They said, and there's ramifications for not doing this. We're in trouble. It's the wrath of God is going to come up because we're not doing what he said. Now, this is Old Testament before Christ. The wrath of God, if we don't do this, he says, my goodness. Go, priest, and tell God and say, God, we see what you said. What are we supposed to do now? Okay, that's what happened. He read the word of the Lord and go ask God, what are we supposed to do now? Because we're in deep trouble. So that's what the priest did. Now listen to this. I didn't write all this down. I put part of it up there. 2 Corinthians 34, 26 through 27. I didn't put the whole thing up there. But here, I'm going to read it all to you. It says, but to the king of Judah... God's talking to the priest. God is talking to the priest. But to the king of Judah, King Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, you shall say to him. So what did he say to the priest? Okay. 2 Chronicles 34, 26. Okay. To King Josiah, who he sent you to inquire of me, God. So he's addressing these guys. You can say to him, say to Josiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard. Now, isn't that fascinating? That he says, now, go back to Josiah, and this is what I want you to tell him, regarding the words that you have heard. Who heard? Josiah. Regarding the words you have heard, go back and tell him. Because your heart, Josiah, was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place, because they did wrong, and against its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me. You have torn your clothes, and you have wept before me. You trembled at my words, I add. Also, I have heard your words. Amen. That's how it ends. But look how it ends there. You trembled at my words, which I added. I also have heard your words. Why did God hear his words? He read it there, and because Israel is God's nation and the temple, this is the way you function. They didn't do it. As Josiah read, oh my goodness, we're going to be judged. And so what he did, he tore his robes and he said, God, you repent of this. Go and ask God what we are to do. So they did. When what God said to Josiah was this, because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes, I also have heard you. I mean, does that tell us something? I heard you because you heard me. You trembled at my words. That's what it says in Isaiah. You trembled at my word. You trembled at my word. Therefore, I hear you. We got a connection. Amen? So that's what it's saying. And it's like saying, it's me and you. That's the reason it's not okay. No, it's just you and that person. And all these things go crazy. And you say, no, God, I know you're in control. You can take this care of this. I trust in you. I can't do it. You can do it. God, it's just you. I come before you. And Lord, I want to do what you say. I want to humble myself and just you guide me in what I do. Lord, I have come before you. God says, I hear you. So he said, I hear you now. I hear you. I hear you because you heard me. because you heard me. That's a powerful section. So now here's where we go. We have that in our mind. And so we see, because Josiah trembled at the words of God, when he heard them, God said, therefore he would also listen to Josiah's words. And you know what he goes on to say? Now you'll have to read the rest of Second Chronicles 34, which is fun. Okay, Second Chronicles 34 is fun. It goes through us tonight. But what he tells Josiah, and he goes, before you, because you wept before me, you will not suffer all the wrath I'm going to bring on this people. Now that's what it said, because these people hadn't repented. It was just Josiah. And he says, because you have humbled, trembled before my words, I'm going to bring this wrath, because they have sinned back a couple hundred years. It said they have been building this thing up and they haven't repent. But because you humble at my words, it won't be in your lifetime. I'm going to take care of you because you trembled at my words. Now you can go back, well, God is, you know, he's going to do what he said he was going to do. But again, as we look at the individual lesson, it's like, oh, gosh, everything's going to hell in the handbasket. What are we going to do? It's like we tremble. He said, I'll take care of you. And maybe a lot of bad stuff happened, but I'm going to take care of you. Why? Why? She trembled at his words. Now, okay, now that's, so when you're reading the word, here's why, it's just, you open your Bible and you're in your corner on your right, you go, oh, no, don't just, that's what Pastor Milligan, oh, you know, it's like, I see, if I did it, I'd just be faking, and so that would be, you know, wrath on me for faking it. But we should open up the Bible and read the Bible with a sense like, no, these are God's words, we need to pay attention. I need personally to pay attention, but no, what am I telling you? Well, you're telling me this, but nobody else is believing it. I'm telling you because you're trembling at my words. What are you going to do? Okay, God, it's, what do you say? You see what I'm saying? So individually, it can be a tremendous encouragement. If you look to other people, if you look to things around you, you're just going to be frustrated all the time. You see what I'm saying? But if we're before the Lord, we're seeing him, we have a sense of peace because he's speaking to us and he's showing us stuff. And he promises to protect us. And he promises to reveal things to us so that we can see. Because we're good? No, because we tremble at his words. Have you ever read something in the Bible? You go, oh my God, you're going to do that? Eeks. Yeah, I'm trembling. I'm just glad I'm not there. Oh my goodness. See, there's a trembleness. He said, no, I'm doing stuff. I'm doing stuff. So we need to be reading the word. We need to tremble at his word. Now, and I got some verses here, and I want to go through them pretty quick, but this is helpful to help us to see how God reveals things to us. He speaks to us. He shows us things. And this is, helps us how he reveals them. And two, if we're not reading the Bible, I don't know how, we're not reading God's word. If we're not reading the Bible, I don't know how we expect God to show us stuff. Because we're not trembling at his word. We're not even reading it, you know. So how do we expect God to show us stuff? And again, when he shows us stuff, he shows us increments. Well, I should speak for myself. He shows me increments. He's showing me like a half inch. I said, God, but look at these 10 yards of stuff that's going to hell in the handbasket. What does that have to do? This is what I told you to do. Do you know what? Well, yeah, but that's not helping this. He said, no, I told you to do this. Let me take care of that. Jeez. I'd like a little more info, God, like that. See? And anyway, that's just me. But I want to share you some verses here that kind of gives you an idea of what's happening when you're trembling at his words. Now, this doesn't happen when you're not trembling at his word. See, that's the thing. We try to apply things in the scripture to us when we're not in the scripture and we don't read the scripture, you know. And so, well, it doesn't work. But no, are you trembling at your word? At his word, are you, you know, humbling? I can't, but you can. Every day, every situation. So, here's the lessons. Here's some lessons here. When we are in deep awe of God's word, the Bible, God gives us light and grace. Okay? Now, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on him. We are totally forgiven. And we're going to heaven. if we don't crack the Bible again, okay, we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We'll be the dumbest person in heaven, but we'll go to heaven. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are forgiven. But just in case you don't want to be the dumbest person in heaven, all right, and see him work here, God shows you some stuff you can do. And so one of the things he tells us is to read the word, and he gives us light and grace. And this is how he does it. And I remember, this is a personal verse. I just love this verse, and I just feel like he spoke to me. And it's like it's speaking to God, and you say this, in your light, in God's light, we see light. I just love that verse. Well, I just said that about the other verse, didn't I? Anyway, it's just what it says here. God, in your light, we see light. See? Oh, in my dark, doomed dungeon, I can't see. No. In his, what's light? We'll take salvation, you know? And here's the thing. You can look this up. Google it. Okay. Well, how they used to walk at night, you can imagine there's no electricity whatsoever, and they'd have lamps, and they'd hold the lamps. And if you've been at night camping, you hold the lamp, it makes a circle. It just makes a circle around you. And so they would walk with this circle, and a lot of them they call foot lamps, and they'd have the lamp out on a stick, which makes sense. You hold it in front of you, and you see a circle, and you'd walk along. All right? So that's when he says, you're a light unto my feet. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a foot lamp, and you're walking. So you're standing there, and with that foot lamp, it's pitch dark. You can't see a thing. No stars out, no moon, and it's pitch dark. But you can see that circle. See? It's like that. So, and that's his light. He goes, that's my light. So you're sitting in his light, okay? And we'll say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm in his light. I can stand there forever. All right, I'm not going anyplace. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go on welfare. I'm not going to have it. I'm just going to stand here. Okay, you got that option. All right? But in his light, we see like that he's done this for us, you know. But so we know we see that. But what's important is that we make a step. Like the word of God is a light by which we see the world, okay? And so if we make a step, what happens to the light? It moves out. We make one half a step. It moves out a half a step. We one big one step. And all of a sudden, we see more things in front of us because we took a step. But his light is the light to our feet. Look at Psalms 119:105. I'm not going to tell you I love this verse, but it's good. Okay, one psalm of Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Read the word. Your word is a lamp. The lamp, it's like you're hanging the Bible on there. Not a lamp, you're hanging the Bible there. And you're reading it. That's good. I'm saved. But then you start stepping out in the different things you're learning, and there's more light. See? And it's a light for my path. When, how did so-and-so end off in that ditch? How did they jump off in those bushes? How did they do that? I can't believe they did that. It's like they had the same lamp. And he says, I don't know. Those people, I hear a lot of hollering going, I bet they're having a lot of fun over to you. And then you're in the ditch, you're in the thing, you're holding the lamp, it's sticking straight up in there, and you're trying to crawl out of this thing. Okay? See, but if you got the lamp, the logical thing, you say, that Wallace, that's stupid. But that's how we live our life, in the ditch. In the ditch. We live our life in the ditch. I had a neighbor, and he's a great guy. And I'd share with him, you know, I shared the gospel with him. And he says, well, my theology is just keep it between the ditches. I, well, that's good. You know, that's not bad. But I think when we have a lamp to our feet, it's more than that. So you're moving, and so as we move in this lamp, and the word is a lamp to our feet, and as we move along, what happens? We see further down the path. Now, we can't see on the other side of that lamp. And so, God, I will move if you will tell me what's on the other side. I will move. And then how many of you, has he ever answered that prayer for anybody? He didn't show me, but says, okay, I'll step in the light I have, and then that light, oh my goodness, who knows? Maybe bad, maybe good, but I see it. Each time I take a step, I see it, and I learn something more, and the Lord teaches me more about the scripture. Okay, so we have this thought, the lamp is shining around us, and we can see, now this is what, we can see what God sees. You think about that? We can see what God sees. See, can we see everything? No, you just see the lamp. You can't handle what I see. But I'm showing you something, and this is what God sees. And we start moving, and we see what God sees in our life. And we start moving in that light, and he shows us things step at a time. And so we're seeing what he's seeing. And you know what happens to people around us? Okay, like that, they're giving us all this advice. They can't see. Now, I'm not saying the advice is bad. You test it by the light. But he's giving you the light, not them. You see what I'm saying? So there you go. So we have this sense that every time we move forward, the light moves forward. Therefore, each step gives us unfolding light. Amen? Look what it says at Psalms 119:130. The unfolding of your words gives light. I don't have time to read the word. Okay. All right. You know, I don't have time to take a bath. All right. Everybody in your carpools is like, good gosh, you stink, man. You know, I think a lot of Christians stink. You know, it's like, I don't have time like that. So I don't have time. I'm too tired to study. Okay. You know. Oh, dear God, I pray you'd give me an answer to this question, this quiz. No, you're too tired to study. He's not doing it. Lord, I really studied. Bring all the things I've studied to my mind. Okay, he'll do that. But it's an unfolding. So you're in the Word, and there's unfolding. And all these things keep unfolding. And every time you take a step, something unfolds. And it's like, and if you do that, as you get older, you get smarter. I see a lot of people just get older. That's all it is, they just get older, you know. And it's like, no. As we get older, we should get smarter because we're walking in the light. And every time we see the light, we're learning more things. We're gathering more information. And we're seeing things as God sees. And he's teaching us his things. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's a powerful. Now, this is one that's fascinating. Have you ever been in a situation where you're saying, okay, I'm walking the light, I'm doing what God says, I'm praying, I'm doing everything, nothing is working out. You're saying to me the same old light. It's like I got a light in the middle of the desert. It's the same sand, and nothing's happening. See how easy that flows off my tongue? You know, I said, God, you know, I'm doing what you said. I've done what I repented and my heart is crushed. You know, I do like that. And I am tired of being crushed and humbled before you. I told you I can a million times and you not filling your part of this, you know. So, you know, which proves that I have to spend more time in the desert. Okay, because God, it seems like he's got more time than I do. So, but what happens here is, and this is a fascinating thing, and over the years, you can see that over the years, I can see this actually happens, is that as you continue in that light, he brings forth light around us, okay? And you become a greater witness, and you become a greater influence because he's bringing light around you, and it's discernible by people around you that you're walking with the Lord and that and that he's going to bring to fruition your perseverance. You see what I'm saying? But you don't see what's happening. You're in the Sahara. You're just walking along the sand dunes, you know? It's like, good night. But even put you, think you're on a sand dune, middle of the Sierra. I mean, people can see you like 1,000 miles around. Look at that spot. You know, but we're just like. So anyway, but you have this where your obedience to God, that righteousness, that at a point God will use it for his purposes and manifest your obedience. Look what this says. He'll bring forth his light for others to see for his purposes. Psalms 37:6. He will bring forth your righteousness. Now, by the way, where do we get our righteousness? Jesus, right? He declared us righteous. So we get our righteousness from God, and he teaches us to behave like who we are. He says you're righteous. Now I want you to behave. And that's the reason we're walking with this lamp. He's teaching us to behave like who we are. All right? So he'll bring forth your righteousness as light. Hey, I'm into that. You know, here I'm just with this foot lamp. You know, I don't know what's going on around here, but I just got this foot lamp. I'm just doing one thing at a time. He will bring forth your righteousness as light, and your justice is the noonday sun. It's like, oh, you're going to be like the noonday sun, and I'm going to show what I've done through you. Amen? That's the promise. See, that's the promise of the foot lamp. We're just going along. I'll use the Sahara because you're not going to run across anything in the city. Because you don't even think you're moving. You think you're walking in circles. You don't know. But you're moving with that lamp, and it's like, good gosh, it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. But you keep moving that because why? God told you to. You keep doing what he says. He keeps teaching you. You keep moving. You keep moving. And then you come to a point, and then all of a sudden, it's like you hit the jackpot. There's a pot of gold, and you're like, good grief, what happened there? And everybody says, wow, did you? How'd that happen? How did that happen? You see what I'm saying? Like me, it'd be like I'm walking the Sierra. God, I can't see nothing. I've been walked there, nothing but sand. Nothing's happened to me. I've been contrite. You don't care. Lord, I said I can't. I'm tired of saying I can't. I say you can. You're falling down on your job. But I'm keeping walking. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's just me. That's just me. And then it comes up, and the Lord gives this straight blessing. And somebody, oh, that's wonderful. You just love the Lord. I said, yeah, that's me. I just praising Jesus the whole time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, God. I bellyached all the way here. I mean, I just bellyached all the way here. My son has a great, we have run out of town. But this is, y'all all know Mitch. He's just, y'all talk to him sometimes. He's hilarious. He's just hilarious. And he has this vision that God is going to take you wherever you are. Like I'm talking about the lamp of being obedient. He says even if you're not obedient, it's like Jonah when he is a disobedient and they threw him overside and the whale swallowed him and said the whale puked him up on shore. He says you do what God says or God, or you just get puked up on shore. You know, and so I'm thinking, you know, I've been puked up on shore a bunch, you know, but I want to be followed the lamp, you know, in righteousness. But what it is, and seriousness is it's a trust in the Lord. But based on what? People, well, I have faith. Where'd you get that faith? Well, somebody told me something. It's the Word. You have to tremble at the Word. That's it all. That's where it all comes from. That's where it all comes from. I had somebody receive, there's a prophetic type word. They received a word. And they said, I don't feel comfortable with that word. And I said, why not? I said, they said, because it wasn't consistent with Scripture. I said, what's consistent in that? They were wrong. It's consistent with Scripture. Scripture is everything. If anybody says something against Scripture, you deny that person. You never listen to them again. Simple. Tremble at the Word. Tremble at the Word. Amen? So, hallelujah. So, we're almost there. We're here. I'll read real quick. But here we go and read this whole thing in a different light. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. The Bible is God breathed that word. The Bible is God's light. And here in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Now, that ought to make you tremble. I mean, you open the Bible and He's breathing on you. I mean, that ought to make you tremble. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable in teaching and reproof for correction and for training for righteousness that the man or woman of God may be complete. That's always breathing on us. That's the reason we're following the lamp. That's the reason we're taking one step at a time so that we'll be complete and equipped for every work. So therefore, by studying the Bible, we are confident because we've become convinced. Why are we convinced of God's promises? Tremble at His word. We're convinced, you know. Whatever, never happened. May happen for them. Doesn't happen for me. Woo, there. I don't understand. No, I'm convinced because God told me. Fully convinced. And this is where we have all in the New Testament. Look at Romans 4:21. And I just put an introduction so you could have the flow here. But it's for all believers. And it says, Romans 4:21, like Abraham, we grow strong in our faith. Fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Where did you get what He promised? In the Word. In the Word. And we're fully convinced that God is able to do what he said in the Word. That's where we are convinced. Don't let anybody convince you of anything. What is the Word saying? And so we're fully convinced about our eternal salvation. Amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to, you know, it's like we have a word to share. And so just be a little different. Look at Acts 16, 31. We'll just keep it simple because we're convinced of this. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That's the Bible. It says, I'm convinced of that. I am absolutely, totally convinced of that because that's what God said. That's what God said. But it doesn't look like, I don't care if it looks like, that's what God said. And so I'm going to move in that. I'm going to constantly move in that, walking in that lamp, knowing that God has got the dark. He's revealing me the light and showing me what he's doing. But he's taking care of all the dark out there. How do I trust in that dark he's taking care of? Ah, that's faith, because you're standing in his promise of the light. Amen? Well, let's stand up. We'll praise. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And God, I just want, you know, for us to be really encouraged by God's Word. Be encouraged that it's there to teach us. Be encouraged it's there to help us. Be encouraged it's there to show us deep things of you. Lord, that we have in our hands the very, very words of God. And to look in that and tremble at his word and see what he speaks to us. And knowing that as we tremble at his word, he will speak. He will speak because he knows that we are set, our eyes are set upon you. So we give you thanks for that. And we thank you that we are fully convinced because of what the Bible said, that the Lord Jesus Christ died in our place and our sins are forgiven. In the name of the Lord Jesus.